Well, I'm proud to announce to you that I got promoted. I am the grandfather. A little less than 2 weeks ago, Grace gave birth to a little girl named Abby. And both she and a little granddaughter are doing well. Ellie's out there helping out. And I'll be flying out there later on this week. Now, there's a wrestling match within each one of us. On the one hand, God announces that He has a wonderful plan for our life. However, at the same time, we feel within us that we know what is best for our lives. We're influenced by our sinful nature, and we have a desire to be independent and self-reliance. And we want to be in control. You might not know this, but I used to be a control freak. Yeah, that's true. I remember when I first arrived in HCC, 27 years ago. You know, I took great pride in knowing every aspect of the ministry. I was involved with every single department meeting, and I knew exactly what was going on in everything because I wanted to be in control. It was difficult for me initially to really trust people because I feared that they might mess up. I had a very high expectation, not only upon myself, but upon others that work along my side. And because of my failure to trust others, it really limited my ministry. And it wasn't until I realized that it was not my ministry, but really it was God's ministry. Then I was motivated to do a good job. To not get the applause from men, but to get the applause from God. We've been studying the life of Jacob. And today we will see how his family members desire to take control rather than to seek God's will. Let us take a look at our scripture reading in Genesis chapter 27. As we take a look at the first four verses here, we see that Isaac, Jacob's father, was getting up in years. And he has already lost his vision. He thought that he was coming to the end of his life. And he wanted to make sure that he prepares for the future. And he does so by wanting to bless his son. Isaac wanted to take care of all his business in order that things will continue to move forward before he passed on. You know, it's a good idea to be prepared for the future. And we see in this passage that Isaac instructs his son Esau to hunt some wild games and to prepare a meal for him just the way he likes it so that he can bless Esau. You see, God has already mapped out Isaac's future plans for his two sons. But we see here that Isaac chooses to disregard it As you probably recall, back in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, before his two twin sons were born, God already mapped out what was going to happen. God prophesied that the elder will serve the younger. Although Isaac knew about this truth for years, yet he chooses to set his own agenda contrary to God's because he wanted to be in control. You know, it's good to be prepared for the future. But how do we go about doing that? God says that we are to invest in eternity and not in the present. Are we willing to align to our story, our plan with God's story, God's plan? Are we willing to adjust our plans so that we might coincide with God's plan? If we take a little closer look, we see that Isaac was motivated by his own personal preference. Well, you know, we all have personal preference, and that's not wrong in itself. But if it masters over us, it dictates our decision, then it can create all kinds of problems. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Unfortunately, we see that Isaac was more mastered or more motivated for a good meal than for the blessing of his son Esau. He sent his son to say, "Go make a meal just like I like it, with a wild game, so that I will bless you." He wants to satisfy his own appetite as a condition for pronouncing the blessing of Esau. You know, some of us as parents, we tend to impose our personal preference upon our children, although it might not necessarily be the best for our children. It might be what our parents always wanted to do, but maybe didn't get the opportunity to do it, or maybe not as successful in doing it, and we try to live our dreams through our kids. The question is, are we willing to align our plan with God's plan? Or are we deciding independently without consulting with the Lord? God's plan might be contrary to what we want. We might want our child to be a doctor so that we can brag to others. But is that necessarily the best for our child? Is it based upon how God has wired our child? As we look back at this story, we see in verse 6 and 7, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, overheard that Isaac was about to bless Esau. This word "overheard" is probably better described as eavesdropping or snooping. Apparently, Isaac did not discuss blessing Esau with his wife. Isaac might have tried to conceal what he was doing. However, we're going to see that it caused a lot more problems. we as parents must be careful not to be snooping or eavesdropping on our family members. I do know some parents that go into the web to read emails from our children or listen to their conversation over the phone. This can create all kinds of tension. Instead, may we be upfront with one another. It is imperative that we develop a trustworthy relationship. Although we might not agree on everything, we can talk about it. And may we truly listen to each other. May we create an atmosphere that might be safe for us to talk about important issues. And we do this by not jumping to conclusions, but truly listening to understand. And if we cannot speak truth with each other, then we really can't be true family. We would just be roommates that live together under the same roof. Let us make every effort to communicate with one another. And after Rebekah overheard what Isaac told Esau, what did she do? How did she reply? We see that she was quick to her feet. She disagreed with her husband in giving the blessing to Esau because she favored Jacob. As you recall back in Genesis 25:28, this Isaac, who had a taste for wild game. Again, he talks about his preference. You know, he loves wild game. Loves Esau. But Rebekah loves Jacob. We see here, favoritism distorts each of their perspectives. Rebekah was not going to allow Esau to cheat Jacob of the divine blessing of God declared before the birth of the two children. You know, this love for Jacob was tainted because true love does not encourage one to do evil. She had a plan, and she was going to use whatever means to do so. As a result, she took matters into her own hands. There was no need to consult with God or with her husband. She was going to carry out her plan. And sometimes we feel so badly that we are willing to do anything to get it. We fool ourselves believing that we deserve it and we have every right to get it with any means. The so-called ends justifies the means. As we proceed in this story, we notice that Rebekah uses deception as well as manipulation to trick Isaac to blessing Jacob. We see it in verse 8 and 10. Instead of having wild game prepare, Rebekah knew how to use goats to make it taste like wild game. Do we go about deceiving our family members? Do we meet with our significant other, boyfriend or girlfriend, secretly and not want to let our parents know about it? Or maybe as parents, we make some excuses not to attend our child's recitals because we really want to watch the NBA playoff. Rebecca here took things into her own hands to accomplish his plan. And may we not run ahead of God like Rebecca here, but instead aligned our plan with God's plan. Interesting is to see how Jacob responds to his mother's plan here. We see this in verse 11 and 12. Jacob has some apprehension of his mother's plan. Jacob admits that he has smooth skin and his brother Esau had hairy skin. And if his father touches him, he would know that he was not Esau. Notice that Jacob did not have guilt, but only fear regarding to the plan. He did not think it was wrong in itself, but he feared that he's going to get caught and be punished. The problem he saw in doing this evil was not the wrong in doing the evil, but the possibility of getting caught. We need to take a look at ourselves. If our only reason for not doing evil because we are afraid of being caught, then we lack character. But we will sin when better opportunities to sin presents themselves. Do we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? Or do we do the right thing in fear that we will be punished? In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. May we as parents teach our children proper values and explain to them why, not only to do it, but why they should do it. It's the right thing to do. An example might be here in this church. This is God's house. We're to honor His house and not to treat it like a playground. May we teach our children not to be running around in the lobby, on the hallways, and definitely not to be walking or jumping on the sofa. Not only to teach them what, but also to teach them why. Well, Jacob's mother responded to Jacob's hesitation, and we see this in verse 13, by talking him into following her plan, her deceptive plan. She says, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. Rebecca was willing to uphold the total consequences. She took full responsibility, and I give her a lot of credit for that. You know, when we make a decision, there are always consequences. Are we ready to uphold those consequences? Good decision gives us good consequences, but bad decisions, there will be bad consequences. Later on, as you probably are aware, that this plan really did not work out as she planned. Rebecca reaped terrible consequences. It was much more than she anticipated. She would never see her favorite son again after this incident. Such sin not only affected Rebecca, She took full responsibility and trying to protect Jacob. Says, well, you're going to be okay. Whatever's happened, I take all the blame. But in reality, it also affected Jacob greatly. You know, when we make a bad decision, it not only affects us, but it also affects many people that are around us. Therefore, may we be very wise in making decisions. Count on costs carefully. It is common that we underestimate costs of sin. Satan normally disguises the consequences by making us focus on the pleasure that we will receive for the moment. And we see that Rebecca and Jacob executed the plan. Initially, it appeared that things were going smoothly. It accomplishes what it set out to do. He tricked Isaac to bless Jacob. Well, let's take a look at what transpired next. We look in verse 14 to 17. There were three deceptions that took place. First, it was this cooking. Through Rebecca's cooking skills, she was able to disguise goat meat to taste like wild game. And there's another second deception, that is the clothes. Rebecca had Jacob wear Esau's clothes to fool the father. And thirdly, there's the camouflage. Since Esau was hairy and Jacob was smooth-skinned, Jacob was camouflage with goat's skin to hide his true identity. Well, in order for this plan to fully accomplish, Jacob also lied. And he lied a number of times. He lied about the person he was claiming to be. And we see this in verse 19. He says, he was Esau, but he really was not. He also lied about his performance by saying that he has done it just as his father told him or instructed him to do. He also lied about the provision by claiming that he captured the wild game. And lastly, he also lied about the providence he experienced by claiming that it was God who gave him success. He lied is one of the seven great sins that God hates, as it is recorded in Proverbs 6. And may we be careful when we lie. But sometimes when we're so focused on getting what we want, and because we want to be in control, that we manipulate, we deceive, we lie to get what we want. And we see here, both Rebecca and Jacob were guilty of that. It's interesting, as Jacob went before his father, that Isaac had some question initially about Jacob's identity. But through Jacob's disguise with Esau's clothing and the goat skin, he fooled his father. And his father blessed him by promising three important things. And we see this in verse 28 and 29. Promise his son prosperity. There will be abundance of grain and new wine. Not only that, but he also promised him position. Notice in verse 29, it says, may nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Thirdly, he promised divine preference for the Jew. Near the end of verse 29, it says, may those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. Pretty nice blessing to receive. But we see that Jacob used deception to get this blessing. The reality is that Jacob did not need to lie, nor did Rebekah need to be deceptive, because God has already promised the blessing to go to Jacob in the first place. Rebekah just wanted to make sure that Jacob gets the blessing. Therefore, she took things into her own hands and ran ahead of God instead of aligning her plan with God's plan. Do we run ahead of God? We have to make very important decisions. Or do we really seek him out? Right after Jacob leaves from the blessing, Isaac was greeted with a great surprise. You see that Esau came home all excited with the wild game, and he cooked a wonderful meal just like his father likes it. And he comes into the room with great eagerness, waiting to be blessed. And when Esau greeted his father, Isaac was all confused because he thought he just blessed Esau. All of a sudden, Isaac realized that he has been deceived. We see in verse 33 how he responded. He trembled violently. I believe he trembled because he recognized that he has been disobedient to God. He knew that he has gone against God's will. You would think that Isaac might have reacted in anger because he's been tricked. But yet we see here that he reacted in fear. He recognized that he just got caught. It's just like that same fear that Jacob had earlier about this whole scheme. Both Isaac and Esau's dreams were shattered. A bold plan to have Esau be blessed. And in reality, we see Rebekah and Jacob's dream also was shattered. Although Jacob did receive the blessing, we see there were dreadful consequences that happened to both of their lives because they ran ahead of God. God's plan is always the right plan. We see the whole family took things into their own hand. They want control. They did not align their plan with God's plan. We need to understand that God's plan will always happen, regardless whether we believe or not believe in it, whether we want to participate in it or not participate in it, whether we choose to align our plan with God's plan or not. His plan is going to happen regardless. Notice what Scripture has to say in Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevail. And also in Isaiah 14, 24b and 27, surely as I have planned, so it will be done. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Isaac tried to cheat Jacob out of his blessing. But at the very end, Isaac does realize that the divine blessing truly belongs to Jacob. I believe some of us today have some important decision to make. God has a wonderful plan for you. May we consult with Him, and may we consult with wise and godly men and women. Be open to what God wants us to do. Go before God with an open hand. Be willing to accept that which He leads us, because it's always going to be the best plan. Don't go before Him with a closed hand, expecting God to bless us. And sometimes we make demands that God should bless our plan because we know it all. May we be willing to adjust our plan, align our plan with God's plan as He reveals it to us. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we thank You for having wonderful plans for our life. And because of our natural sinful nature, it is our desire to be in control, be self-reliant, Lord. Father, we ask that You forgive us for not consulting with You, not seeking Your will. And sometimes we seek it, but really we want You to approve of our ways. Father, may we learn to trust You, knowing that You know what is best for us. And Your will be done, whether we obey You or not. Father, we ask that You teach us to align our plan with Your plan. We know that will always be the right way. Christ's name, we pray.